Cozy on the House.
Your weekend wake-up call.
Trying to wake you up easy.
All across the great state of Arizona on a beautiful Saturday morning. Good morning, y'all.
Good morning. Continue our conversation with Donna DeFrancesco of City of Mesa. She's the conservation coordinator, and we're just talking through just thinking about planning your yard and xeriscaping, and we've been talking about, you know, how to start that process, and we were talking about looking out the window and creating a spot. I love looking out my windows. I have a courtyard out my dining room window.
Right.
Sometimes I just sit there and read.
Right.
You can see the little hummingbirds come into the fountain and the flowers.
Yes.
And you also mentioned
it brings the outdoors in.
It does. Yeah. And putting something fragrant by the door, so when you do open those doors, that outside is coming in.
That's right. Right.
That's what it's
great
all about.
Great idea, too.
Yes.
Absolutely.
You put a lot of money in it. You be able to enjoy it inside or outside, right?
Right. So. Right. And just one other quick little tip. You know, I kind of joke, too. You got a teenage daughter. You want to make sure it's safe in the home. You know, put a thorny bush right outside her windows.
Thorny hedge, yes.
So desert plants can serve many functions in the landscape.
Thorns can be useful, yes. Okay, well, let's continue our journey here then. We were talking about going to the point of choosing the plants then in the right plant, in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
And so what does that look like? And then talking about tying that in with the irrigation.
Yeah. Well, one of the things you want to be really careful of, because, you know, you'll go to the nursery and you'll see a little plant in a pot, and it's
calling your name.
Cutest little thing, you know, but sometimes those little plants can grow into big, giant, beautiful plants, and so you want to make sure that you look at the mature size before you place it in your landscape. So, again, we've got the booklet, Landscape Plants for the Arizona Desert. It shows you all the mature sizes, and so when you're doing that plant selection process, just make sure you are putting plants in locations where there's plenty of room to grow. So and then you're not having to maintain it as much. You're not out there pruning and whacking it back all the time, and it's not going to be a problem in that area.
And if it is a really big plant, it can do some damage actually to your home or your sidewalks or driveways.
Speaking of, which, like trees especially, and you always want to make sure they're far enough away from your home that they're not going to be causing any conflict up against rooftops and that kind of thing. It's great to place your trees where they're going to shade your home, where you can, you know, get some energy savings. You want that shade on your, you know, western exposures, southern and western exposures for the summertime is wonderful. And then if they're deciduous trees and drop their leaves, then letting the sun in the winter, which is great too, so you get good energy savings. But also be really careful with, especially with trees and larger plants, that you're looking for utilities. So, you know, before you actually start to do any kind of digging or anything you want to call blue stake, they come out and they'll mark where the underground utilities are at least starting to enter into your property, and then you have to kind of figure out the direction it goes from there. They won't actually come onto your property, but it gives you a good idea where things are located. You always want to look for overground or overhead power lines and that kind of thing too when you're planting trees, and make sure you're not going to get into any conflicts with that. So
that's right. And so explain about the irrigation system where you plant like plants as far as water.
Well, with xeriscape, you know, we don't say it's just all desert plants or anything either. You know, you certainly can have functional turf areas, small areas. We just want to make sure people consider, you know, is this something the kids are going to need and that kind of stuff before you put those kinds of higher water use materials in. But we certainly always encourage people to put edibles in. So if you're putting in citrus trees or vegetable garden, those are, you know, you're going to want those on separate irrigation lines or valves, zones, so that you can irrigate those differently, different frequency, different amounts to your as compared to your desert plants. They're going to need a lot less water. So by separating your irrigation zones, that's going to make it a lot more efficient. So there's just really great ways and simple techniques that are going to keep the landscape a lot more water efficient. And as Rosie said, it's you know, up to 70% of your water use is outdoors. That's why it's a really, really easy way that you can save water by just, you know, really honing in on these techniques.
Arizona Municipal Water Users Association.
I know it's a big word. AMWA for short.
AMWA. AMWA has put these publications together.
Yeah.
They make them available for how much?
That would be free.
All of them are free.
Yes.
And the quality is really impressive.
You know, I'm looking at this, Landscape Plants for the Arizona Desert, and the subtitle is Guide to Growing More Than 200 Low Water Use Plants. and filled with pictures.
Yes. Photo for every plant.
I could see an afternoon with this magazine walking through the botanical gardens.
Just
kind of circling. Yes, that's the one I want by the front door. And yes, this is the one I want leading out to the swimming pool and trying to decide that right plant, right place.
Exactly.
Thinking forward 20 years. Right. What is it going to look like when it's all mature?
And I love that idea, Rosie, of going to the botanical garden.
Oh.
There's also Xeriscape demonstration gardens where you can see those plants at their, again, a little more mature or established stages. Because, again, it's so hard. I think that's one of the problems we have with our desert plants. They don't look great in a pot in a nursery always. Sometimes they do. But they just, you know, sometimes they might look a little scraggly in the pot. But you get them in the ground, and as you know, you've seen this too, and that it can just flourish and do beautifully here, you know, and then really get that, you know, beautiful, majestic size and shape that it'll get. So,
well, you mentioned kind of trying to pick out a theme for, you know, do you want Mexican or Mediterranean? Do you want rustic or tropical?
Yeah.
Do you want formal or natural?
Yeah.
Trying to get an overall picture. And I think
a
lot of times, if you're not a detailed person, which I'm not, I just kind of know what I look at that and I go, oh, I like that.
Right.
And so if you just start taking snapshots of those and just
go on Pinterest even and those kinds of things. But I love just driving around your neighborhood. I love going to the demonstration gardens. Those things will give you really good ideas.
I've always heard that it's a good idea to look at like the entries to golf courses or the medians in the streets, because those are all things that don't require a lot of care. They plant those intentionally. You know.
And on the topic of themes, Mexican or Mediterranean, we have a neighbor in our neighborhood that actually had his theme is metallic. He does not have one growing plant on his 1 acre property.
Gravel and artwork.
But he has Ocotillo made out of rebar, all painted to look like. He's got agaves. He's got prickly pear.
Okay.
I mean, the entire yard does not have, I don't think he has one sprinkler head on the entire property.
I was
going
to say, it sounds very low water use.
Yeah, I mean,
but I bet it gets a little hot in the summer.
I'll tell you what, he can walk out the door, lock the door, and be gone for 2 months.
And I understand.
Not have to worry about a thing.
I understand that, but one of the things we try to discourage is what we call, jokingly, zero-scaping.
Zero.
You know, Xeriscape is, you know, this beautiful, colorful landscaping, but zero-scaping is just rocks and cactus, or maybe just rocks. But just the fact that, again, our urban environment here, the heat island effect that we get, we really do need shade. We need the benefits that plants provide, the oxygen, cleaning the air. They do, they're such workhorses for the environment. And of course, it's replacing plant material that is taken away because of, you know, because we have developed the areas and taken
parking
those
lots and
so the more that we can get, the better. The more rain we can get to penetrate into the ground and get back into the groundwater, the better. So that's why we encourage rainwater harvesting and that type of thing as well. And there's some great information at Water Use It Wisely, that waterusitwisely.com, that people can learn all about all those things. We basically just have all kinds of resources on that site for people too.
I mentioned the botanical gardens, then you casually mentioned other Xeriscape gardens, public access gardens that you can go see?
Yes, yes.
Where would some of those be?
Well, there's the Xeriscape demonstration garden at Scottsdale Chaparral Park is a beautiful one. We have one at the Mesa. I have to, of course, put a plug in for Mesa Community College.
Okay.
At the Southern and Dobson campus has a great Xeriscape demonstration garden there as well. Peoria has one. There's a whole listing, again, that you can find at either the amwa.org site, the Arizona Municipal Water User site, or at the Water Use It Wisely site. So if you just put in Xeriscape Demonstration Gardens, you'll find a listing.
AMWA, AMWUA .org. AMWA.org is where you can find that information. It's where you can they go online and download these publications?
Actually, all three are available online as well.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I'll put a link on our Facebook page in a little bit, and you can just go right there and click right through and get them.
Publication number one in the sequence that I would use them is the Landscape Plants for the Arizona Desert, giving you a brief introduction, actually a pretty exhaustive introduction of 200 low-water use plants that are very compatible with low-water usage here in the desert. I would start there. And like I say, I would walk the botanical gardens. You can see pictures in the book. It's easy to see them. But for scale, for size, for fragrance, I'd walk botanical gardens, and I'd just kind of tear pages out of this and circle it. That's what I want here. That's what I want there. Then I'd go into the Xeriscape publication for ideas on location and,
mm-hmm. and design.
And then I'd have the landscape watering by the numbers once it's all in to kind of dial in the clock.
Dial it in. I like that. Huh? Yes, yes. Yeah. And also, just to let you know, the Xeriscape book has maintenance. It has, you know, planting information. It has maintenance information. And what I love is the back. It has lots of idea pictures. You know, it's just photographs to inspire people. And then there's a resource section. So it gives you all those, you know, places you can call, websites you can visit, and that kind of thing. There's even a little part where you can make a list of, you know, it's a spreadsheet and a sketching area in the back too. So and there's a little tab. I'm going to describe this. I know it's a radio, but I can't show it. But there's a little tab on the booklet, and if you ever pick up one of these booklets, you'll notice a yellow circular tab on the edge of each page, and it's a saguaro. And if you go along through the book, you'll notice that it starts as a spear, a small saguaro, and it grows arms, and then it actually gets flowers. And if you flip the book, you can kind of make a little moving video out of it.
And watch that cactus grow right up.
And see the cactus grow, okay? I just want everybody now to go out and pick one up so that they can do this and see how much fun it is.
And when we had the docent for Saguaro National Monument, they were talking about saguaros.
Yes.
And do you know how big a saguaro is when it's 10 years old?
I think pretty small.
It's really, what did she say, like 8 inches?
Yeah.
At 10 years.
Yes.
And,
it's amazing.
And then when we see them available in the nurseries or in somebody's yard at 40,
even at
you know,
four
or 5 feet, it's 50 and 60 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
You know?
Gosh,
so they're very slow to get started.
Yes.
But she dispelled a lot of myths about, you know, the cactus has to be 100 years old before it grows its first arm
and all
of that. So
right.
The saguaro. If you're out walking the deserts now, they all look like they're about ready to explode.
Yes.
They are so gorgeously filled.
Those pleats expand when they take up the moisture,
very
don't
plump.
They? And they just, yes.
And I
yes,
think they even, it's my impression, they even change color. And I don't know if they actually change color or it's just the light playing off
the
green surface.
Is different, isn't
it's
it?
It's so brilliant.
Yeah. Yes.
So brilliant.
And we have so many beautiful sculptural plants like that we can grow here. We need, you know, it's just a great opportunity for putting so many of these beautiful plants in our landscapes.
Donna, thanks so much for joining us here at Rosie on House this gorgeous Arizona Saturday morning.
It was so great to be here. Thank you, guys.
AMWA, AMWUA, AMWA.org is where you can go to get all these publications downloaded. You can get into your local landscape or nursery shop, and they'll have them there for you to pick up for free. You can download them. And AMWA is a group of cities that have come together and put these resources together for you, the Arizona homeowner, so that you can responsibly use the water outside your house, which is where 70% of our water consumption goes. So let's pay attention to it.